Hello, and welcome to Close the Door and Come Here, a Song of Ice and Fire podcast with heavy leanings toward our two favorite characters, Jaime and Brienne.
Man, there was a bear there, all black and brown and covered in hair.
Hi, I am Chicky. You can find me at Chicky on Blue Sky Social, and I'm joined today by Kama.
Hi, I'm Kama, and you can find me at Kama Splice at Blue Sky Social.
And Clotho.
Hi, I'm Clotho, and you can find me at Clotho Spindle on Twitter.
And today we are covering Arya's 13th chapter in A Storm of Swords. We are sure getting toward the end of this book, ladies. We are heading right for it. And this is a doozy of a chapter, if there ever was one. So, in a way, it kind of feels like Arya and Sandor are going back to the beginning because they find themselves at the crossroads and where everything in these books happens. They walk in, and who do they find in there having a drink but the infamous Polliver and the Tickler, and they've got another kind of mouthy, pimply squire with them as well. Of course, Sandor gets, I don't know, touchy, I guess is the term I'm going to use about seeing these guys, but not touchy enough to not order some drinks. He's not gonna like get drunk. I don't know if he just doesn't care how this interaction is gonna go down, or if he knows how it's gonna go down and he's just not worried about it. I'm really not sure, but Arya is very unhappy to see these guys, from the beginning this squire starts insulting Sandor, like calling him a puppy, saying some of the junk that Gregor has clearly been saying about him since he ran away from the Battle of the Blackwater, which is entertaining if you're not Sandor. It was entertaining to see. And things kind of devolve from there. And then we do get Sandor asking about salt pans. So we're kind of getting an idea of where his next steps will be for them to go from here. So maybe he doesn't know how this is going to go. I don't even know. But also in their conversation, Sandor and Arya get some updates on people that they know, including they learn that Joffrey is dead, which I don't know. Sandor's response to this, I expected Sandor to have more of a response to Joffrey's death than he did. Did that surprise anyone else, or just one of those?
Yeah,
it's a little surprise. I think he's just sort of in that... a weird mental place now is what I'm going to go with.
He feels detached.
Like a fuck it place. Yeah.
Well, I think like everything's just gone to shit and he knows it. And I don't know what I don't think there's anything he can do.
Yeah. Yeah. So they also hear, and this goes down really well too, that Sansa is married to Tyrion, and Arya just kind of doesn't believe it, really. She just kind of can't fathom that is the case. But Sandor definitely seems to believe it and takes it as well as you would expect him to, considering that he, has whatever feelings he has about Sansa and how much he hates Tyrion. So that's a fun moment as well. We get some other updates about what's going on with the Blackfish at River Run and how the war is progressing. But pretty quickly, things start devolving with the squire getting more insulting. And suddenly somebody's throwing a knife. I forget which one it is, Polliver or... the Tickler, one of them, is throwing a knife, and suddenly Sandor is fighting these guys for his life. Arya gets into it with the squire and stabs him. Arya is throwing cups and tries throwing knives, and she's really kind of fighting with the big boys. This is like a good scene, but you just see Sandor is so drunk, and Arya realizes it, that he's drunk, and he's just not holding up as well as I think she even thinks he should against these guys. and they've kind of got him pinned against the wall, literally. Anyway, then Xander, I don't know, he gets some strength from somewhere, and which one does he kill first? Does he kill Polliver first or the Tickler, one of them? And then Arya finishes off the other, the one who was asking at the, had been asking at the villages if there was gold in the village and all this stuff, and she kind of has a slight psychotic break as she stabs him to death and is repeating his little line back at him. It's a real moment. So basically Arya has two kills here, including then Xander actually makes her go finish off the squire who she just kind of gut stabbed and was going to have a slow death. And he's like, you know, do you know where that, remember where the heart is? And the whole thing's kind of brutal. I don't know. This is Arya moving to a new place. What's interesting about this is that it does take her a little while to really like figure out how to get involved. Well, I remember at one point during the conversation, she's thinking how Xander's just like these guys. And then the next thing you know, she's trying to protect him.
Right. She's like, oh, I should just kill him during the night. So she's, you know, on the fence about should she even help him, basically, it sounds like.
Yeah. Yeah. She's back and forth. So they get out. Xander is incredibly wounded. He's been cut. It sounds like just cut on the side of his face that is burned. And the rest of his ear has been cut off. He's got a thigh wound that sounds pretty bad. He's got a neck wound. And they kind of get away and stop for the night. And he has her, you know, help him put some boiled wine on these wounds, because it wouldn't be A Song of Ice and Fire if someone wasn't dumping boiled wine on something. The next day he wakes up even worse than he was, and I think Arya is beginning to get an idea that he may not be recovering from this. But what's interesting, before she goes to sleep, actually that night she recites her list of names, and so she's crossed a couple of names off, because she can cross off the Tickler and Polliver and Joffrey, and then she finds herself choosing to leave Xander's name off the list, and she tries really hard not to think too much, you can tell, about why she may or may not do that. And then the next day they get up and try to ride again. Xander's in bad shape. They don't make it very far. And he calls it a day and kind of has to crawl along the ground off of his horse. And he's leaning up against a tree. And this is where we get him insulting her to try, clearly in an attempt to try to get her to kill him.
Yeah.
To finish him off. He pulls out some fun nuggets about Sansa and Micah, who he killed back at when they were staying at the inn at the crossroads the first time that they knew each other. So it's kind of a deep, dark place. And Arya is angry. She's still angry with him, you can tell. But, you know, I think she pretends that she's punishing him by not giving him mercy. But that's really not how I read it. I don't think she can do it. I don't know. What's anyone else's take on it?
I think she thinks that, like, she can't even remember what Micah looked like. And I mean, she's been with him, with Xander now for what, like months, weeks?
Months. I think it's months. Yes.
And I think, you know, they've both been through the psychological wringer. And I don't think she wants to kill him. And I think I think if he just straight out asked her, would you kill me or put me out of my misery, she wouldn't have done it, which is why he feels he's got to do the, you know, talking about her family and her sister in particular and Micah and all that stuff to try to get her to do it. Because I don't think you're right. I don't think she wants to.
He knew that. Yeah.
Yeah. That's my read on it. He
and
knows
she's
he
needs got
to
nobody else. And she thinks about that. Like, she thinks like, basically, all of her siblings are dead, she thinks. There's John, but she's never going to be able to get there. I mean, she's functionally alone. Like, these relatives who she's never even met, like, it's made real clear that that's not going to happen. So
yeah, well, she thinks about how her remaining relatives are not wolves. And that's very telling.
I mean, I think he's all she's got at this point. Which is poor Arya. It's sort of sick.
Yeah.
This duo
it's not great.
It's a sad state of affairs, I think, for both of them.
Yeah. Well, so she does leave him and can't bring herself to kill him. Off she goes, and we kind of have nothing from her for like the week that it takes her to get to Salt Pans. It's just like she turns off in the chapter until she gets there. She sells her horse and she feels like she gets swindled selling her horse, but she sees that there are boats available at Salt Pans, and she goes to try to pay for passage on one, and she thinks about how mad she is that Sandor kept their money even though he was dying. And all she has is the little bit that she got from selling her horse. And so the captain looks at the money that she has and basically says, no, it's not enough. And he says, and she wanted him to take her north to she wanted to go to Eastwatch, I think, so that she could try to get to John. And the captain says, we're not going there anyway. We're going home. He wants to go home to Braavos. And so she kind of has a thought, and she digs deep inside her clothes and pulls out a different iron coin and shows it to the captain, and everything about his demeanor changes. And she remembers to say Valar Morghulis, and the captain responds, Valar Dohaeris, I think is how you say it. And he says she can have a cabin, because now he knows he knows who she's with, I guess, is the way to put it, with her little assassin coin. And here goes Arya, leaving the continent, running away. But who can blame her? Dear God. I feel like this was a good ending to her journey in this book. I mean, she had quite the journey from beginning to end, really.
Yeah.
And I mean, could really Jod have really done anything for her? And that's the thing. Like, I don't know what
I don't know.
I don't know. I think it would have been better in some respect, because arguably what happens
she
to her
end up with Stannis or
well, I mean,
yeah. Oh God. Yeah. Imagine Stannis with his hands on Arya. Jesus.
Yeah, I can't see them getting along terribly well, but
no.
On the other hand, I mean, it wouldn't be like, you know, being in Cersei's court.
Yeah, right.
Or Lysa, no, or something like that. I mean, I think...
And she's not a king's child, so she wouldn't have to worry about that. Like,
well, but she's a king's sister, so...
Right.
So that's a concern. Oh,
that she could have got burnt. Yeah.
I mean, honestly, yeah. What would be more entertaining would be her and Melisandre. But
right. Interesting.
But I mean, she's gone through an incredible journey this whole book. And I mean, my heart breaks for her.
Well, yeah, because she's been stripped of everything. Like, she kept trying to rebuild a family, a pack around herself, and ended up at the end with only Sandor, and she can't even hold on to him. And it's, you know, it's pretty bleak. It's rough. Poor Arya.
And I mean, I think for her, I mean, the fact that I know she doesn't know what is waiting for her in Braavos, but that she's willing to take that step is because she feels she has nothing else left.
Right.
Yes. Yeah. I mean,
that's pretty abrupt. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and the way that she just won't even let herself kind of hope that she could trust anyone she doesn't know, like, you know, she's not thinking, maybe I could trust, you know, the Blackfish, maybe I could trust my Aunt Liza. She's not having any of those thoughts. She doesn't want to even try to trust anyone.
Well, and she's never met these people, ever.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, I think, you know, it's not like, you know, it's a second cousin who she's at least met and, you know, knows, or an aunt or an uncle that she's at least, you know, been introduced to and has some sort of sense of who they are. She's never met these people ever.
Yeah.
All right. And she has no way of knowing like where Sansa's going to end up. And yeah.
No. Yeah. No one knows where Sansa is. I forgot the bit about where supposedly Sansa did magic or something.
Oh, right. She flew off.
Oh, that was wild.
Bat wings. Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, this is the chapter where we learn that, fake Arya is going to be married to,
they mentioned that.
Yeah, I forgot that. Sandor had a really good laugh. Yeah, Sandor had a really good laugh when he heard that Arya Stark was meant for Bolton's bastard. He thought that was really funny. It was funny, actually. Oh, God. These books. These fucking books. Just left in the grimmest, bleakest places for all of our favorite characters. Thank you very much.
I guess, though, I mean... what has been reiterated for me in reading all of her, because this is, I've done a lot of the RA chapters for the podcast for Storm. I think what's really come home to me was like, just, I got so annoyed with the show making her into this sort of remorseless child killer, and a lot of fandom, I think, sees her like that. She's a very human character with emotion and decency and kindness, who's just been treated like absolute garbage by the world.
Yeah. Yep, she's the child soldier.
Yeah, but I think I don't get a sense that she is that she's forever broken.
No.
I think there's humanity in her.
Yeah, I agree. There still is. Amazingly, she is very resilient. But you can see the places where it is wearing thin.
Well, yes. I mean, like you said, her psychotic break with the where's the gold? They're gold in the village.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's people, and like rough. They put, like, gosh, like the ones that are awful are just awful. Like they push and they put, I mean, they really did, like they pushed.
Yeah.
Or the squire did, right? It was the one causing the trouble initially.
Yes.
Like, why would you, like, I don't know. People are crazy. Cause you'd think the stories that must've been told about the hound just, gosh.
That's what I was thinking. Man, you've never heard of Sandor Clegane?
And if he knew, you know, he was saying, you know, his brother constantly, like, you know how they are.
I can't imagine wanting to pick a fight with Sandor. That just doesn't seem like the smartest move, but no one tell the squire that, I guess. Well, did we have any mail for this one?
We did not.
Okay, any final thoughts from anybody?
Yeah. This is her last chapter, right?
Her last chapter in this book.
Moving on.
Bravo. We'll see Arya again, I guess, in Feast. So, as someone. Well, if you would like to send us your own thoughts on Arya's bleak, bleak story here at the end of the Storm of Swords, you can do that at our Gmail, which is closethedoorand@gmail.com. You can still reach us on Twitter, as far as we know. Guile's still over there at Door Podcast. You can also send us a message on Tumblr. You can do it anonymously if you'd like. We're there at closethedoorandcomehere.tumblr.com. You can always reach us on the Jamie Brienne subreddit. And of course, as always, we are very, very grateful to our patrons on Patreon who help us keep the lights on. And since no one has anything else bleak to add to this bleak little chapter, I'm closing the door. Get out.